A very good afternoon. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Kuf Ches, Ksubas 108a, pagination is 215. We'll start on the facing page, Masnisin, a new Mishnah at the bottom. Misha alach l'medina sayom, person went to a faraway country, v'omar echad upirnes es ishto, and a different person came and supported his wife while he was away. Chanan Omer, Chanan says, Ibed es ma'osav, his money is lost, he's not retrievable. When the husband gets back, he is not able to go over to the husband and say, please reimburse me for what I supported your wife while you were away. The Gemara tells us, Nechluchu alav b'nei kohanim gedolim v'omru yishava kamahotzi v'yitol. There is an opinion that says that he can simply make an oath how much he spent on the woman, and that's the amount he gets reimbursed from the husband. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Arakinas kidivrehem, and Rabbi Dosa ben Arakinas said that he holds like that. Amar Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai yafar machanan eniach ma'osav al keren atzvi. But Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai reiterated the words of Chanan, the words with which the Mishnah began, that this person has lost his money. It's as if he put his money on the horn of a deer, and the deer moves and keeps running. The money is not retrievable. And the question, of course, is why not? And the answer is that he didn't do something in a way that's structured for him to get reimbursed. One possibility in halacha would be that he loans the woman money. The woman is entitled to spend money on her needs, and she would be able to retrieve that money from the husband, and then she would be able to pay back the people from whom she borrowed. But over here, he didn't do it in the structure of a loan. He gave her money, almost like he thinks he's the husband or he's the goodwill uncle. He gave her, and he didn't structure it in the way of a loan so that he can get reimbursed. Taisvis goes so far as to ask that we have a halacha, yored l'soch sada shal chavero v'nota shalo b'rishus, a person who goes into someone else's property and plants it with fruit, vegetable, without permission, and the property goes up in price, does such a thing as him getting reimbursed for what he did? But over here, there is no clear profit in what he did. It's kimavriach ari. It's like causing the lion that was coming nearby to run away. So that's very nice what you did, but it's not structured in a way where he's going to be able to get reimbursed. To the point that the Gemara maintains, according to Chanan, there's really no transaction at all going on between the person who's paying the money and the person who owed the money. Tanan Hasam, we learnt at the bottom of the page, Hamoder Hano Mechavero, a person who made an oath that he would not benefit from his friend, Shokel Lo Es Shiklo, he's not, the reciprocal person is not allowed to cause benefit, but he's still allowed to pay the man's shekel towards the Beis HaMikdash carbon fund, uporeya lo eschovo, and he's allowed to pay up the person's loan, umachzo lo avedoso, and is allowed to return the man's lost object, uvamakom shenotam schar, and if money is generated, tipol hano lehekdesh, so that benefit should go to hekdesh, and he shouldn't benefit from it personally. And like this, he's doing all these things, and there's no restriction on doing that, even though it looks like some benefit is being caused. Bishlamo shoka lo eshiklo. I understand what you mean when you say he could pay the shekel to the Beis HaMikdash Karban Fund because mitzvah ka'avid. He's doing a very nice mitzvah, but it's not something that was essential for the person's well-being. Detanan, because we know the Mishnah, Tarmin ala ovid vala govi vala osid ligvos. When they designated the shkalim from the room to buy the karbanos, they did so even for people whose shekel did not arrive. And therefore, this person does have a share in the karbanos, even if you don't pay his shekel. And therefore, he's not benefiting a tangible benefit. Umachzir l'avidoso nami mitzvah ka'avid. And returning his lost object is also not considered a tangible benefit. Ela porea lo eschova, but when you pay up his loan, hakamishtar shrile, it would seem that you really are getting, that the man really is getting a very tangible benefit, that he's not going to have to pay up the loan now. Amar Ravoshi Amani Chanan, Ravoshi said, it follows the opinion of Chanan that we mentioned in our Mishnah, the Amar Ibn Isma Osav, that when you pay up someone else's obligation, it's losing your own money. You're not going to get reimbursed for it because you're not offering them a tangible, reimbursable benefit. And likewise over here, if you follow Hanan's opinion, it's true. He's, so to speak, benefiting that the person will no longer be able to collect the debt from him because you paid it up. But that's mavriach ari. That's like causing a potential threat not to come. It's not a tangible benefit. You can't put a price on it. And Hanan said that that's something that's not reimbursable, and likewise over here, it's not considered a violation of his oath, causing benefit to the other. And that's the approach that's used in halacha, that if a person does want to pay up a debt for someone else, or an obligation in the case of a husband that left to a faraway place, so in the case of the absent husband, what you could do is you could loan the money to the woman in order that she will then get reimbursed from the husband, and from that money that she gets from the husband, she'll be able to reimburse the person who laid out the money. The Gemara here wants to formulate an approach that might explain this statement that you're allowed to pay up someone's debt even if there's an oath against benefit, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanon. V'rava omar afilu tema Rabbanon hocha b'mayaskinon, what would be the case? Shalova omana shalo lefroa. If a person took the loan out without a due date, so then by paying it up for him, it's not a tangible benefit, even according to the Rabbanon, because he can always say, I wasn't ready to pay the loan up yet. And the same thing the next month, and the same thing the next month, and therefore paying it up for him, even though the Rabbanon held, was a tangible benefit when it came to a woman who has to get her support now, and the payment is due now. But in the case of a loan like that, without a due date, there was no tangible benefit, and that's why he wasn't in violation of the oath. The Gemara rejects that and says, Omalach Ravoshia would respond, Nehida ha'no'a leslei, I understand there's no tangible financial benefit, but kisufa mileslei, doesn't he benefit from avoiding embarrassment? Because even though technically he could keep avoiding payment on the loan because the debt was of an unlimited duration, but it's embarrassing to meet somebody to whom you owe money and perpetually be saying, I'm not ready to pay up yet. And therefore, according to the Rabbanan who hold that that's a tangible benefit, even if there's no due date, there would be a tangible benefit in avoiding embarrassment. But going back to Rav Oshia's approach, Hanan would hold in that case that there is no benefit. It's a mavriach ari, as Tosfos said. You haven't invested money in his property in any tangible way, and you haven't loaned him the money, and therefore there are no grounds for reimbursement, and therefore we maintained that even in light of such an oath, you would still be allowed to pay up the debt. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.